1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians. We're looking at Paul's discussion on the gifts of the Lord's servants. And we've looked at the fact that there was confusion, and the church at Corinth was all confused about these different gifts. And so Paul in chapter number 12 gives us some information about these gifts, and then we preach the next week as he identifies where the gifts should be used, and they are in the local church. Amen. And then number 3, where we are tonight, just looking at a few verses tonight, starting down in verse number 28, we'll look at the important gifts. So we had the information about the gifts, he identifies where the gifts are used, and then he's going to give us some thoughts on the important gifts. All right, if you're able to, let's stand as we read our scriptures just in respect to the Word of God, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be seated as we look at this passage. Starting in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 28, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Let's pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please teach us your word. May the Holy Spirit do, Lord, what you've given us him to do, to be a teacher, a comforter, a rebuker, a strengthener, whatever we need tonight from the word, I pray we would find it. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would be listening with open ears and an open heart. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd hide me. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd lift up your word tonight. God, I pray you just rebuke the devil, keep any distractions away from us. And Lord, may our hearts be in tune to what the Word of God says. May we leave this place stronger, more in love with you. Lord, more excited about you. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be enabled and equipped to do what you called us to do this week. And to point people to you, to love people. May God, your name be honored. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And again, looking here as Paul talks about this area of confusion, and he kind of summarizes it here at the end of this chapter by prioritizing this area of gifts. You see, the Corinthian church was consumed, it seems to be, with tongues. They were just, they had made this into something that God never intended it to be. And that's not a problem that just took place years ago. That is something that still, unfortunately, goes on today. There are many denominations and churches out there that are have made tongues into something that it is not. All right, and the charismatic crowd, the Pentecostals and such, they make that the priority. And Paul is diminishing that in this passage of Scripture and the passages to come, and what we've already looked at, to try to teach them where God put this gift of tongues. So Paul's going to correct his thinking, and he closes there in verse number 31 that we'll end tonight in saying, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." The best gifts. Again, I think when we put all in context of what we studied, that what Paul is trying to get to is this, that there were those who were trying to be something that God did not call them to be. They saw and were prioritizing these different gifts, and they, for whatever reason, took tongues and made it like the gift, and everyone wanted this gift when God did not give this to everyone. And Paul then corrects all of our thinking and going down through there that everyone that is part of the Lord's church there in this, in, it will take Kazadel, this church body right here, that God has given to every one of us gifts. He's placed us here in a place as that it pleased him, and we all have these different gifts to serve him with. And everybody has their own place and their own function in this body. You know, I again, he uses the illustration of a human body, all right? I've got, 10 fingers, all right? And they're not the same as my 10 toes. They serve a different purpose. They look different. Entirely different purpose. All right? We have what Paul referred to as comely parts and uncomely parts. An ear can't get jealous of the nose, and the eye can't get jealous of the mouth. Right? And there's no jealousy there. We're all just working together for one purpose, for one body. And so the Lord has put us within the church to all serve with the gifts that God's given us. But apparently there were some in this church who were trying to be some pseudo-spiritual person, trying to be something and be something that God did not call them to be or enable them to be. And I would just look at you tonight and say, don't ever try to be something that God didn't call you to be. But whatever God called you to be, do it. And serve the Lord in that capacity. And so here Paul talks about this, and he wraps up this first, you know, discussion about tongues in chapter number 12 by summarizing this. And hey, when it comes to you, seek out, or verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, what are the best gifts? Well, the best gift is that gift that God's given you. That's the best that you can have. You know, that's all that God expects you to be. You know, Alex just is recently graduated, and a couple people have asked, you know, well, you know, do you want him to be a preacher? And my answer to them is this: I expect my son to use the gifts that God's given him to be what God wants him to be. And there could be no higher calling for anyone than to use the gifts that God's giving you to faithfully serve him with those gifts. That's all anyone can do with their life. So what do you want for your son? I want God's will for my son. What do you want in everybody else's life? I want them to use whatever abilities and God has placed in their life to use it to the full extent for the glory of God. And that's what every one of us should be consumed with doing, using our gifts from the Lord to work within the body that God has placed us in to bring people to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this real quick in verses 28 to 31, the important gifts. And he kind of gives us this, almost lists them in, if you will, a sense of the order of importance. And first of all, let's look at verse number 28 and see some positional limitations. He says in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles. You see, first of all, these leading gifts. First of all, the apostles. Now, who are the apostles? They were those who had seen and were sent out by the Savior. They were the apostles. The apostles had to have seen a resurrected Lord, and they were sent by the Lord, and they performed miraculous acts of the Lord. I can show you this, keep your finger here, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and you just see a glimpse of what I'm saying here, just real quick. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse number 12, Paul kind of refers to what I'm talking about here. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12 says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. You see, the apostles were those, they were associated here with miracles. They are associated with a special power from God, if you will. God spoke through the apostles. The apostles were spoken to by God, and they were used by the Lord to help lay the foundation for His church. I say it multiple times, and I'll say it again. I believe the Lord started the church with His disciples there. He called them out. They were a called out assembly of people. That's what a church is. They were baptized believers. They also had business meetings. They had church discipline. They had the ordinances. All before you get to Acts chapter number 2. They had all of these things in action, and that's why it says in Acts chapter number 2, the Lord added to them. You can't add to something that's not already there. So the Lord started the church, but then He used, it's His, He is, understand. The Lord said, I will build my church. All right? The church is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But then He first used, as Paul says here, the apostles. These men were sent from God. They had special gifts. But those gifts died out when John the Apostle died. When John died, there was no more apostles. In today's world, you'll meet people. I met one just the other day in the hospital. I was making visits, and is that a guy? He had on the garb, the collar and everything. And he referred to himself as Apostle So-and-so. And I didn't get in a conversation with him. Don't worry, all right? I'm not a brawler, as the Bible says, right? I just smiled at him and got in the elevator, all right? But the fact is this, there are no apostles today. there are no apostles. The gifts of the apostle died out, and to my best of my knowledge, when John died, he was the last of the apostles, to my knowledge, that died. And when he died, the gift of the apostle died with him. All right, so there's first the leading gifts, those the apostles, those who seen and were sent by the Savior. We'll go on in verse number 28. Then you had those who were sought, those who sought and were taught by the Spirit of God. It says there, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets. Now these prophets were those in the early church. When I say the early church, the time here, all right, in this time frame, in the years directly afterwards, right, before the canon of the Scriptures was completed, God used men who were referred to as prophets tonight. They were men, and when we hear prophets, we think of the Old Testament Scriptures, and I understand that. All right, but the fact is this, that there is the gift of prophecy here. There is the gift of the prophets here. And I believe in the case that's what it's referring to here, it's talking about those men who God used specifically to preach the truth to the early church. You see, at this time frame, all right, they did not have what we have today. They didn't have this. It was not completed. They had the Old Testament Scriptures in Greek, all right? They had the Old Testament Scriptures. They also had the oral passing along of the Gospels, all right? They had whatever epistle was in their hand, if they were able to have that, or word of mouth, what they had heard about the epistles. But the canon of Scriptures was not yet put together. So God used these men, the prophets, to go and to preach the truth. These men were directed by the Holy Spirit of God to give the truth. I think you can look at men like Philip, you can look at men like Barnabas, you can look at these men who went out and they preached the truth. They weren't able to say, turning your Bible to Ephesians, all right? But they were able to give them the truth being directed by the Spirit of God. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 1, and you'll see this in action here. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe Peter is referring to this in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and in verse number 20. Then we'll go right back to 1 Corinthians. In 2 Peter 1 and in verse number 20. And I don't have time to read all this chapter. I wish I did. But in verse number 20, it says, knowing this first. Now, Peter's talking here. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There were holy men who spoke the truth directed by the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, once the Bible was completed, once the canon of Scriptures was put together, we, praise the Lord, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the completed word of God. This book right here that I hold in my hand and you have in yours is the church's sole authority, the word of God. This is what we do. Everything that we do should be based upon this book. This is the authority for our faith and practice. This is what our church follows. This is what we follow, try to live our lives according to. We have that now. But in that day, this wasn't there. And so you had these who would go, and they were directed by the Holy Ghost to stand up, and they could trust that they were hearing the truth being directed and spoken to by the Holy Ghost through these men. Now, this gift would be done away with. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, it says in verse number 10, but when that which is perfect is come, you say, what is that? You have it in your hand. We have the Word of God. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, what was that? Go back to verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. So that was a gift that would be put away with. That was a gift that would be done when we got the perfect Word of God, when it was completed and we're able to have it in our hand. And you and I ought to be thankful for the Word of God. We have that book. Praise the Lord for it. Now, there are some people who get up today and in all kinds of denominations and all kinds of, use the term loosely, churches, even in Baptist churches, that get up and try to add to Scriptures or take away from Scriptures. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 specifically says that there is a curse upon those who would try to add or take away from the completed Word of God. When God completed this book, no one else is going to get another word to add to it, and no one is to take anything from it. We have the perfect Word of God in our hands. But understand that there were these leading gifts. When I say the apostles, those who had seen and were sent by the Savior, and then there was these prophets, those who sought and were taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Then you have number two, not just the leading gifts, but the lasting gifts. Back in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 28, it says, and they were sent, some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now the gift of teaching is still in action. You're not going to find in the scriptures where teaching is a gift that's done away with. Teaching is still a gift that is still, praise the Lord, in action to this day. There are many people within our church that have the gift of teaching. And praise the Lord for them. Now, not everybody has that gift, all right? If that were the case, no one would be sitting listening, right? But, you know, the fact is God gives some this gift of teaching. Obviously, a pastor should have that gift. One of the requirements for a pastor given in the Word of God is that they be apt to teach, all right? They have the ability to teach. And the fact is this, we have many men and ladies who have the gift of teaching within our church. I thank the Lord for every one of our Sunday school teachers that get up and teach the Word of God. Every one of our junior church, every one of our ladies who teach the ladies, our men who teach the men. I thank the Lord for everyone. Brother Randy does a tremendous job. Brother Schwartz taught this morning. We are very blessed within our church to have some tremendous teachers, men and ladies who have this gift of teaching, who can rightly divide the Word of truth. Every one of us in this church ought to be thankful that God's blessed us with people like that, who can rightly divide. Again, there's many people that have the gift of teaching who don't know how to rightly divide the Word of truth. But we're blessed in our church. And again, I say men and women without apology, Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter number 18. They were teachers of good things to bring into about a more perfectly, the Bible says. And I'm thankful for people who know how to teach, people who know how to write books to study from. And I want to encourage you tonight. Read. Read. It's a lost art today, but read. Find good material and read. Find good books and get involved in them, all right? Study. You say, well, all right, you know, don't misunderstand me. This is the first and foremost book that you ought to read, all right? Praise the Lord. Every one of us ought to daily be in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. All right? And I'm not taking away, but I'm telling you this. I think it's important that you read other books too. Because God has given teachers the ability to write down things for us to learn from. Daniel. Turn over real quick. I'll show you this because you're all staring at me weird. Turn over to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9. I believe it is. I might be wrong on that. Let me look. Hopefully I beat you. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse number 1 in Daniel 9. It says, in the year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was called king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? Daniel read books, which helped his understanding. Amen. He said, well, that's Old Testament, that don't count. All right, that's fine. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy, let's go there. All right, 2 Timothy. I'm right on this, right? 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. And in verse number, we'll start reading verse number 11. Paul's about to die, he believes. He's there in prison, and Demas has forsaken him. In verse number 10. Verse number 11, he's writing, of course, to Timothy. He says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the what? Books, but especially the parchments. He read books, he read parchments. And I want to encourage you, church, to read good material. To read a book. Teenagers, read. Read. You know, adults, read. Read. a terrible night to say this because our bookstore is closed tonight. All right, Miss Dickhouse, I had to take care of Miss Pat. Pray for her. She's very sick. But get some good material and read. It's important that we study because God's given these people the gift of teaching, and they will write down. Now listen, read the right stuff. Listen to right teachers, all right? And if you need the list, I've got a whole list of books, all right? I'll give them to you, all right? I'll give you all kinds of stuff to read, but read, all right? And learn and grow in these things, all right? But the gift of teaching, back to 1 Corinthians 12, these are lasting gifts. It's still in action today. Learn to read, all right? Learn to listen to teachers. And if you have that gift of teaching, if you have the gift of teaching, teach. Teach. If you have the gift of teaching, you know, don't sit on the sideline. If God's giving you that ability, God is giving you that calling, then use it for the glory of God. Teach. But we have here these lasting gifts. Let's get now back to our text, all right? In verse number 28, we'll keep going. Next I have, as I outlined it, the lesser gifts. It says that God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So now we have these other gifts that are mentioned. Now this gets interesting. This gets interesting. And I told our discipleship class today, right? When I first became a pastor, there was this older pastor. I sought all the counsel I could get, and I kept asking people, right, what's the advice you would give me? And I appreciate everyone's counsel they gave me. And one of the men, he said this: don't be afraid to say I don't know, but then study it. But if you still don't know, don't be afraid to say I don't know. See, because you're wrong. Don't ever say something when you're not sure about it, and then have to go back and change it because you lose credibility. So if you don't know, say I don't know. I'm still studying it. And I'm going to look at you tonight and say, I'm not so sure I'm still studying it, right? You can accept that, right? You have to, all right? But look at it, and I'll explain what I mean. In verse number 28, again, he talks about the apostles, he talks about the prophets, he talks about teachers. After that, we have miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Take it whichever way you want to. We could look at it in this way, that next after that, that we have miracles, and then people who would go around and heal others. Then we have helps, which is assisting other people, being a comforter, being a guide, a giver. Then you have governments, that's people who are good and have the gift of administration, who are good at organizing and leading events, if you will, our churches and polity, diversities of tongues, speaking in at that time, that gift of tongues. Well, we can look at it in that way with all kinds of these different gifts. Or you can look at it in this way, which I'm studying too, right? I'll make you study it. How's that? We'll study this together, right? The only thing I'm hung up on, which, you know, I may come back in a week and tell you, all right, I'm cool now, all right? But, you know, if I said, you know, in my cabinet, you know, I've got a can of beans and a can of corn and a can of beets and I have cans of vegetables, it's kind of repeating the same thing, right? You follow that, right? I just said I had different things, right? So why would he say miracles and then mention then gifts of healings? Because last time I checked, when we think of healing, like going and touching someone and they're healed, that's a miracle. Right? So why would he mention both? Aren't they the same thing? At least you're thinking tonight, right? You follow me? Or do you think I'm crazy, right? You're all staring at me weird, right? Does that at least make somewhat sense what I just said? It's kind of different, right? All right? First, Scott probably has it all figured out. I'll find out after church, right? But let me give you something to think about, right? Just to pray about. Miracles are obviously miraculous things that God used these people to do. I believe, again, that refers to the apostles. If you go back in Mark, remember God said with these men that he would send out, they would be bitten by poisonous snakes and not die. They could drink things, et cetera, et cetera. And all these miracles would take place, and it did, just as God said it would. Could it be also that maybe, just throwing this out there for you to pray about, that maybe then gifts of healings are those who God gives that gift in medicine, in helping people in that way? Because that can happen too. You follow me? That can happen too. I mean, I don't know about you, when I had to have surgery and my appendix taken out, I was very thankful for people that God had given the gift of healing to, right? And I was thankful because I did not want Brother Slee operating on my appendix, right? Amen, right? No, right? But when I pray for anyone who's having surgery at the hospitals or any procedures, I always thank God for those doctors and nurses that God has given this talent and this mind to, right? Because I don't have that. Neither do you. But praise the Lord, they do, all right? So maybe the gifts of healings helps. That is what it is. That's being able to be an encouragement to people, to help each other, to sit alongside someone when they need encouragement and strength. And praise the Lord for those people who are able to do that. Amen? And there's so many people in our church that have that gift. And praise the Lord for everyone. You know, sometimes people are hurting and the right person knows just what to say. Maybe it's giving. There's a need. It's, you know, God gives that gift of giving. You're able to be a help and just meet a need and or time or whatever it may be. And many, many, many in our church, many have this gift of help. That's why I tell many people, or strive to be Ohio's friendliest church. And I think because we have many in our church with that gift of help, we just love being a blessing to people. And praise the Lord, don't ever change that, church. And use those gifts for that purpose, all right? But gifts of helps, of governments, that's those who help administer and direct, organize. People that can be head of different situations and run a program or take, you know, a certain portion of the Sunday school ministry or whatever the case may be and organize things. That is a government's gifts of governments. Diversities of tongues. Now, yes, it could be talking about that supernatural ability that we saw there in Acts chapter number 2. When people spake and people heard it in their own language, right? And I believe it's exactly what happened in Acts chapter number 2. But I also think that there's also a gift that goes on today when it comes to tongues. It's not people talking in gibberish, right? That God gives certain people just an unbelievable gift in being able to learn and speak in different languages. I don't have that gift, all right? Be the first one to tell you, all right? I took 2 years of Spanish, and the best I got still is hola, pardon, and poopy trays, all right? That's all I got, all right? That means desk, all right? It's all I got, all right? Right, Miss Christensen? No, she always tells me no. I'm not saying that right, all right? But in any case, all right? I'm close, though, all right? But in any case, all right? I don't have that gift, but at the same time, you ready? Miss Christensen does. You take people like Brother Colin, he had that gift. Being able to learn, Brother Harris has that gift. He can speak to you in 3 different languages. He was able to pick up Spanish in just a couple years and speak fluently. These men that we support and other men across the world that are taking scriptures and translating them, they have that gift that we don't have. All right, you know, and I understand you can study and work hard, but God gives this gift. When you look at the people who God used to translate our King James Bible, they had a gift. They had a gift. All right, and I'm not in any way trying to shake anybody's faith. I don't think this does. All right, but I do believe that there are different gifts. There was miracles, but then there's these other gifts that God puts in churches to fulfill the work of God. And so I just, you know, there you go. I'll leave it at that. All right? But you have these other gifts. All right? Let's go on. Verse number 29. You have personal limitations. All right? So we had positional limitations, verse 28. And now personal limitations in verse number 29. You see, first of all, it says, and this is really simple. We're about done. Do all or are all apostles? Oh, we'll answer that. The answer is no, of course not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? It kind of backs up that point I just made. Do all interpret? No. Not everybody has the same gifts. And you kind of hear Paul gives some rhetorical questions, if you will. Obviously, the answer is no. Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us, not all of us are fingers. Not all of us are noses or ears or whatever it may be in this body. God has placed you in the body, everybody, with a different gift, and you all have your own gift. And Paul's point is this: use the gift that God gave you for the glory of God. And we have in verse number 31 a proposed limitation. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. What is the best gifts? Everybody doesn't need to learn tongues. Everyone just needs to do what God enables you to do. And when you choose to take what God's given you and use it for His glory, that's the best and all that God would ever require you to do. If you're a member at Kazada Baptist Temple and you are currently faithful in serving God with the gifts and talents that God's giving you, there is no higher calling in your life than being faithful with what God's giving you. That, friends, is the best gift. You say, yeah, but Brother Mullis can play the piano and sing. I can't play the piano. I can play two songs with one hand, all right? It's not my gift. But God didn't call me to do that. You know, other people have, you know, the different gifts within the church. And I, you know, gifts that I don't, I've talked before, Brother Habel, they're on vacation down in Alabama, but he has the gift, he mechanically can think things through. He fixes our buses, he keeps everything with a motor around here running. I do not have, if you let me work on your car, you're going to have a bigger bill, right? I don't have that gift. Other people have the gift of giving. Well, some maybe cannot and do not. You say, well, I'm not as spiritual as them. If you're doing what God called you to do with the gifts that God is giving you, there is no greater thing that you can do. But listen, be faithful. Whether the 10 talents, 5 talents, or 1, just be faithful with what God's giving you. And you know what? Every one of them in that little parable I just shared with you, they all got the same reward who were faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just do what God's giving you. So you see here that the proposed limitation is to desire the superior gift. What is that? That's yours. But then listen as we close. Do it with superior grace. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Paul said, now that we've settled this, right? Use your gift. Let me tell you the most important aspect of using that gift. So what is the most important aspect of using that gift? Could leave you on a cliffhanger for next week, right? But I'll tell you, chapter 13, love. You can have all these gifts in the world, but if you don't have charity, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Have love. But let's pray.